Okay, turn your Bible with me to Proverbs, and I'm going to ask you to put your bookmark or thumb, pinky or whatever, and then Ecclesiastes, because we're going to go jump back and forth, and we're going to go over many other verses, so be aware. Okay, when I hear the word fool, I don't know why, but because I guess I watched that silly TV action series from 1980s known as A-Team. How many of you guys remember? And it's a silly movie, and then nobody get hurt, nobody get shot, get killed, and you know, all that things. There's a guy named B.A. He's known as a bad attitude. He's, of course, played by the Mr. T. Because the reason why I think about him is he often called everybody, just about everybody, he'd say, "You crazy fool!" And I don't know why I think about him with the word fool. So what's that got to do with today's teaching? Absolutely nothing. I just thought about it. Last Sunday, we've studied the major theme of the proverb is wisdom. And there's a fine contrast, great contrast between the wisdom and the fools, just about every verse is in this book. New Testament quotes over 20 times about the proverb. If you want to be blessed by the Lord, here's my tip for you. Read one chapter of book of Proverbs a day. One chapter a day. Because there is 31 chapters, so majority of months you'll be able to read them one chapter a day each month, and you'll be able to repeat the same book over and over 12 times a year. And you may say, well, what about the 30 days comes along? Well, I guess you have to do the double time to read two chapters in one day. And you're thinking, okay, what about the February 28 days in the February? Well, at the end of the month, you have a feast of the reading to do. It's a great book, and you will learn that your life will be enriched with the wisdom come from God alone. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is, of course, our desire to know the truth from you. We don't want to be fools because we don't see the truth. You graciously provide the truth for us to make decisions that would impact our future, not only on this earth as well as in heaven. Open our heart, Lord, as we sang, and teach us how not to be fools for your name's sake. And we thank you for providing this facility and the facility to come. And we pray for the President Obama and his salvation, that he may do what is right, that he may be the true follower of Jesus Christ. And we also lift up our troops and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community. And we're asking you to protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as you keep your finger in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, let's go to Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12. Luke is located in the New Testament from the beginning. It's the third book of the New Testament. By the way, Brian, you are within the speed zone, okay? I'm just giving you warning from the beginning. Just kidding. At least it's not at the soak zone. And he said, verse 15 of chapter 12, and he said to them, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke the parable to them, he that is Jesus Christ, saying that the ground of the certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to restore my crops?" And he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who laid up the treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Folks, in Scripture, the fool is not someone with a low intelligence, low IQ, but rather someone who is the one who dishonor and disobey God. According to Jesus, the definition of fool is the one who laid up the treasure for oneself, but not rich toward God. Not rich toward God. What does it mean, not rich toward God? That person is spiritually bankrupt because not following the Lord. A person can have many doctorate degrees, yet still considered as a fool in God's eyes if that person reject and disobey and dishonor God's will. Indeed, the fool cannot see the God's purpose in his life. It's not about glorifying oneself, rather following God and bring glory to Him. Chapter 18 of Proverbs, 18:6, please. 18:6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Have you ever noticed that someone would just love to argue with you no matter what kind of subject that is? Have you ever seen that, those people? They are contentious people, and they are verbally very combative. As a Bible teacher and pastor, I have had enough experience with people who come to me and they just want to argue. The range is from the silly hair-splitting doctrine to flat-out, downright, total heresy. One thing I've noticed with those people, they don't care if their argument is correct biblically. All they care about is winning the argument. The best thing for us to do is walk away. Don't try to convince them, because they are not going to be convinced. Because they are not seeking the truth. You follow? They are not seeking the truth. They just want to argue. They want to argue for the sake of argument. Don't get pulled into that. Some people, for a good example, is your workplace or even your family reunion. Who wants to go to family reunion anyway? Yeah, I had some bad experience, okay? When the people get together and when they find out you're a Christian, and they want to come up with all these excuses why they don't become a Christian. What about people in the pygmy, pygmy in the tribes in Africa? Or what about the people in Alaska never heard? Usually I say, that's not your business. But God will take care of your business. God will ask you, what did you do with your soul? Amen. Think about your soul, not somebody else. And the people will say, well, there's too much hypocrite in the church. Well, join the club. You're one of them. But you're willing to pay the money to go to the movie theater to see that bunch of hypocrites. That's what they are. Tell them, don't make an excuse. You're accountable for your own soul, nobody else. Mind your own business. And they're always trying to argue with you. If you start the arguing with them, you get pulled into further and further trap. For example, many years ago, a man contacted me and asking me and telling me that the sinner's prayer, you know, when the brand new believer, brand new Christian come along, and I asked him to repeat after me, and I lead him in prayer. This person said, well, there's no sinner's prayer in the Bible. And I told him, you're absolutely correct. There's no sinner's itself in the Bible. However, if you look at some of the key verses regarding the salvation in the New Testament, if you combine them together, guess what? It is the base for the sinner's prayer. So I told him that that's why we do this, and it's simple and clear enough for the new believers to get to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But to him, that was not good enough. He wanted some blood. He wanted to go on with the argument. So what do? Bye. I hang up the phone. Folks, let's go to this, Proverbs chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is honorable for men to stop striving, since any fool can start quarrel. Is that clear? That's very clear. I find 11 characteristics of the fools. 11 characteristics. First one is fools mock sin. Fools mock at sin. Chapter 14, verse 9, please. Chapter 14, verse 9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is a favor. A typical characteristic of a fool is ignoring one's sin. They take their sin lightly because they have no regard God's word. By the way, it should not be there. God, just God and His holiness and righteousness and the Bible. In other words, the fool is ignoring God's principles and their sacrifice. They will do anything, bend the rules, and bend whatever they can to accommodate whatever they want. It's almost like, when I look at those people, it's almost like I feel like I'm looking at the little children. You know how the little children play a game, hide and seek or whatever, Monopoly. And they start to play, and they don't like it. They start to say, no, that's not how we're going to play. We're going to change the rules. Have you ever seen that? I'm sure you're one of them. I was one of them. And we change the rules so that it can be our advantage. It doesn't work that way with God. Now go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Right after the Proverbs. Chapter 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than give sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Second characteristic of the fool is a fool responds to temptation easily and quickly. Back to Proverbs chapter 7. Are you there yet? God bless you, by the way. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her and as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastened to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Very, very vivid picture here. We are going to study more about the temptation and the seduction in next study, so we are not going to go into the detail. But since some fool doesn't think the sin is a bad thing, he jumps right into the temptation and seduction. In other words, he doesn't think about the consequences of his sins. Third characteristic I find of the fools is a fool waste their lives and money away. Proverbs 21:20. Are you with me so far? Yes. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man squanders it. Squanders it. That's the main thing. Fools don't see any reason why they should save money or the effort for future. They just literally their lives and money away. Helping others and giving to God is out of question. It is all about being selfish, and they literally blow their time and money away for nothing or even stupid things. I hope none of you are like that. But there are plenty of Christians who would squander things that were given to them by God. Folks, our resources, financial resources, our life belong to the Lord. Okay? It's not for us to just waste away. Fourth characteristic of the fools is here. Fools often fly off the handle, harbor anger and resentment. Proverbs chapter 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12. One thing I like about Proverbs is it's direct. Chapter 12, verse 6. Chapter 12, verse 16. Thank you. My bad. A fool's wrath is known at once, but the prudent man covers shame. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 29. He who is a slow to wrath, chapter 14, verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Those who have a tendency to fly off the handle, they usually come up with the excuse that their outburst of anger comes from the generic heritage, such as, well, I'm a Spanish, I'm an Irish, I'm Italian. So, that's what you were before Christ, before you came to Christ. Would you like to remain as before? When we come to know Jesus Christ, we should be new creation. All things are passed away, all things are brand new. We should be less like ourselves, but more like Jesus Christ. Are we not? So, that's what we are supposed to do. Psalms 103, please. Psalms 103, verse 8. So what is a God like? Here it is. Psalm 103, verse 8. Are you there yet? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Let's say it again. Slow to anger. That means when you think bad and don't get upset too quickly, and abounding in mercy. Now, Colossians chapter 3, way in the back, go to the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, chapter 3, verse 8. But now, you yourself are to put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Does it mean that we cannot get angry? As a Christian, does it mean we cannot get angry? Yes, we can. God gets angry, but he doesn't sin. That's what we call the righteous indignation. Righteous indignation. Folks, if we get angry without control, then we sin. As a chaplain for the sheriff department, time to time I get to ride with the sheriff deputies and we go to the domestic violence. Why would the domestic violence happen? Because somebody fly off the handle. If they talk like educated people, like a normal people, they wouldn't call the police officer or sheriff deputies for domestic violence. But somebody lose handle and they go into the outburst of anger. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. This is what we are supposed to as a Christian. Chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give a place to the devil. Let me put it this way. Let's say husband and wife start to argue, and they got upset with each other. God is telling us, deal with that anger before you go to bed. Some of you who had an argument with a husband and wife, you know how that is, how that feels when you get into bed, almost like a total strangers, turning back toward each other, and it's cold. Right? Don't give me that look like you guys never argue. You know what I'm talking about. Deal with that. Deal with that as the believers of Jesus Christ, forgiving one another. If you forgive, I'm going to say this, forgive others, whether it's a spouse or your brother, your sister, your mother-in-law, or whoever, forgive that person as much as you want to be forgiven by God. Just exact the same amount you want to be forgiven by God. I want to be forgiven by God for everything I do wrong. So that means I have to forgive everything what other people do wrong to me. Making sense? Okay. Fifth characteristic of the fool is a fool practices deception for his own benefit. Fools practice deception for his own benefit. Chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse 7. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. Fools don't think twice about lying, and because they take the sin lightly, and most of all, he ignores what God is speak to a human through the Word of God, there is no limit in his deception. Jesus said, when the devil lies, he is speaking his native language. Remember that? The devil came to kill and destroy and lie. Fools are not known for speaking the truth accurately. Rather, they are known for deception, and they don't think about the consequences of their lying. The word prince here can be translated as a ruler. I get the feeling that the ancient Israel did have its share of the lying politicians like we have in America, especially in Washington, D.C. And then somebody said, you lie! Sixth characteristic of the fool is the fools are filled with empty pride. Chapter 14, verse 3. In the mouth of the fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Fools think that they are always right and everybody else is what? Wrong. Of course. Fools do not respond to the correction. Chapter 17, verse 10, please. Chapter 17, verse 10. Rebuke is more effective for wise men than the 100 blows on a fool. Folks, fools trust their own heart and goes by their own emotions over everything. They are the ones who think that they know everything and while others don't. Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs 28. He who is of a proud heart stir up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Seventh characteristic I find is a fool resists the Lord and his word. Chapter 19, verse 3, please. Chapter 19, verse 3. Am I in your way, Olivia? Is that better? Verse 3, the foolishness of the man who twists his way and his heart fret against the Lord. His heart fret against the Lord. Once I was told by a person who claimed to be a Christian, but her lifestyle was anything but. She asked me a question about the one scripture, so I answered according to that scripture in context. She didn't like the way the answer she got from me, and she told me that that's not how I interpret the Bible. So I kind of was taken back, so I said, well, I've been a Bible teacher almost 20 years and been a pastor 9 years. I study the Word every week, but you don't. And you think that you know the Bible more than I do. She said, I'm right, you're wrong. What can you say to that person who insists that way? Holy Spirit prompted me the two verses in my heart when that was happened. Matthew 7, 6, please. Matthew 7, 6. 7, 6. You there yet? Nope. Yes. Somewhere in between. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now back to Proverbs chapter 11. This is such a great description. As a ring of gold on the swine's snout, so is the lovely woman who lacks discretion. Eighth characteristic of the fool is a fool spread slander. Chapter 10 of Proverbs. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has a lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Somebody wise said, you'll be completely surprised what the people talk about you in private. Fools love to gossip and slander others. It makes them feel important while they do that. We'll study about the gossip in the later time. Do you know what the Christian's favorite Sunday lunch meal is? Roasting pastor. I wonder what kinds of things you guys are going to talk about for this lunch time. No, I don't want to know. Never mind. Don't tell me. Ninth characteristic of the fool is fools talk too much. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 14. You there yet? A fool also multiplies words, and no man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? Let's go to chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. Bless you. Sophie says, okay. For a dream comes through the much activity, and the fool's voice is known by his many words. You're thinking, well, now, preacher, Look who's talking. Bible's talking about you, you mortal mouth. Well, it's a different. Fools don't care. Fools don't care about speaking truth. Nor do they care whether what they say makes sense or not. It's almost like they are just enjoying hearing their own voices. They just go on and on and on. You hear some people just nonstop talking. As I said before last week, I never regret for not saying things. But I say something, then I often regret. It's better to not say it than say something and regret. Fools' 10th characteristic is that fools are not interested in a conversation. Fools not interested in conversation. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers the matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him. He who answers the matter before he hears, and it's a folly and a shame to him. I'm sure you have encountered people who say something to you, and you are about to answer. They go on with another statement. Or, while you're trying to answer, you can tell their mind is a million miles away from you, the conversation you just started. I believe that the Lord gives us 2 ears to hear and 1 mouth to speak patiently. The majority case of counseling, when I do the counseling with my wife, and sometimes I have to do it alone with a gentleman, brothers, in majority case of counseling, the key point is listening more than giving advice or speaking to them. In majority case, if I just listen and ask simple questions, very simple questions, usually the person who come to me or come to my wife and me, usually they have a right answer from the Bible. The key point is listening. 11th point is, fools do not hold back, but express everything they have in mind. Proverbs 29, verse 11. 29:11. A fool bends on all his feelings, but wise men hold them back. Just because something comes to our mind, that doesn't mean that is something we must share with others. It's better to hold something back than speak it out and regret it. Like you met this brand new boss, and you say, "Oh, congratulations, when are you due?" And she said, "I'm not pregnant." That's not the recommending things for you to ask or say. Just because something came to your mind, that doesn't mean it is right thing to say. Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Here is the filter you can put it through, whatever you comes to your mind. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So whatever the thought comes to you in your mind before you say it, put it through this filter. Is this right thing to say? Is this a noble thing to say? It is a proper thing to say. So let's look at the consequences of the fools quickly. Go to the back to the Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Foolishness does not stop at the individual. Like any other sins, it affects others deeply. It affects others deeply. Chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 13, please. Some of you are thinking, my fingers worn out, aren't you going to stop? We're almost there. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contention of his wife is a continual dripping. Okay, I'm not going to make any comment on that one. My mama might raise the idiot, but not the suicidal one. Chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of a righteous feed many, but the fools die for the lack of wisdom. That's the memory verse we have. I don't care how much money or what kinds of fame the fool has went before he died. But if he rejected the Lord, he should not be considered as wise. At his funeral ceremony, the many people might say nice things. But what God says is a final. All of us, listen please, all of us are fools without God. Amen? Amen. Chapter 18, verse 7, please. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Fools of thoughtless comment will haunt him in the future. Let's make one application. God is appealing personally to the fools. You put the word here, fools. Ask yourself, am I that fool? You might have a very, very high IQ. You might have a very high intelligence and with an education. But if you reject God, as according to Jesus' definition, if you reject God, disobey God, and denounce God, and not following God, yes, you are a fool. I say that without an apology. I say that with the authority of the Bible. And you say, well, I follow God. No, not your way, but God's way. I'm going to talk about that. God is personally appealing to the fools that they should abandon their foolishness and turn their heart to the Lord. If they do, God will dispense his wisdom to them liberally. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. O simple ones, chapter 8, verse 5. O simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of understanding heart. I hope none of you are fools. I hope none of you are thinking that you can make your own way to heaven. I hope none of you are thinking that I know what the Bible says, but soon as you say but, you're just canceling everything what the Bible says. Bible says, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Bible says, unless you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you cannot go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. If you have not received Jesus into your heart, if you're not a born-again Christian, you're one of those fools. Don't think that I'm trying to insult you, but I'm just trying to wake you up from your lethargy. I want you to realize what kinds of eternal result you are going to have in hell. So I want you to know that it's better for you to realize now than too late. If you have not received Jesus into your heart, then you need to do that today. Not tomorrow, right now. You don't have to go knock on the door. You don't have to do anything special other than simply opening your heart to receive Him into your heart. By doing so, you get to have eternal life in heaven. By doing so, you get to have the love of Jesus Christ that would last forever. And by doing so, you get to have a hope that the millions, billions of people around the world wants to have. But they cannot have that hope. Without Jesus, we have nothing. With Jesus, we have everything. So if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, raise your hand and commit your life today. Do it now. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let us not be a fool, but one who follow you with all our heart and mind and soul. And we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.